Now, the miraculous and the power of God at work in the midst of a congregation needs to come with a warning about phenomenon, about spiritual impact among a body of believers. Because Peter came and the Spirit of God dwelling in him brought incredible change. Paralyzed people healed. Dead people brought to life. But we don't trust in the miracles. We trust in God who does miraculous things. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All the books of the Bible that start with T are together. So you turn to the right, so you find one that's T, but Thessalonians comes before Timothy, before Titus. Paul writes to the town of Thessalonica. And so the people who live there are called Thessalonians. Jesus said, I will come and I will get you, right? Jesus said, on that last day, and that's what we're talking about here, the last day. Paul's letter, to the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says this, Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, see, when he comes is when you are gathered. Think about the tombstones that people put out on Halloween that say R.I.P., rest in peace. To be absent from the body, to close your eyes, the next time you open your eyes is in the presence of the Lord. He will come to gather us. We ask you, brethren, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or by a spoken word or by a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. That day will not come unless the rebellion in the ESV, the apostasy in other translations like a New American Standard, a falling away in the King James. The return of Jesus will not happen until there be a falling away from the faith. That day will not come, it says in verse 3, until the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. This is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Mm-hmm. Someone is coming who will stand and claim to be God on this earth, standing in front of people. Do you not remember when I was with you? I told you these things, Paul says. And you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Do you see this world pitching and heaving in lawlessness? It's not a hard argument to make. Only, and now look at the Holy Spirit here, only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. There's evil being held at bay, and it's the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit dwelling in every believer who stands for God in the midst of lawlessness. That means you. With the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, if you are born again, if you are alive, if your spiritual life is a spirit-born life. He who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Because, folks, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way. And now, remember the psalm at the beginning? Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Remember Jesus, I will not forsake you. I keep all those who are mine. But the Holy Spirit will be pulled away. Will he be ripped apart from you and you left here? Or will you, joined with Christ, go with him? And there's the concept of the rapture showing up. You've heard this word before. That's in the scripture here. And you can learn more about it from studying the book, Thessalonians. It illustrates what it's about. And then the lawless one will be revealed. When the Holy Spirit is gone, the Antichrist will declare. Look at verse 8 so you can just keep up with me. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Don't be scared of the Antichrist. He has nothing. He doesn't stand against God. It's not a fight between God and the devil. The devil's an angel. The devil was kicked out of heaven. The devil will be destroyed, and his Antichrist will be killed with the breath of his mouth and brought to nothing by the appearance of the Lord's coming when he comes and he gathers. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. That's the admonition to you. False signs and wonders. People who are smitten by miraculous are also subject to being perhaps fooled by false signs and wonders. Needing to know the difference is the Lord Jesus Christ, who honors his Father. And that when Peter does the miraculous, Jesus Christ is made known so that people's faith come to the Lord and not to the one doing the miracles. And when people come and they sacrifice bulls and they say, "Behold," the guys who are there go, no, we're people just like you. Don't worship us. Worship God. Angels, when people bow before angels, go, no, get up. Don't worship us. Worship God. The man of lawlessness, when he stands there, he's like, "You may worship me. I am God." Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it because there's miracles. Anything done must point to Christ or it isn't real. The spiritist who comes and who does something and tells you where Uncle Frank hid the money, it's underneath the floorboards. Only in Christ. It's critical stuff. Look at verse 11. God sends the people who fall for this stuff a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. He's not going to do that to you. I, as a believer, that there is a rapture of the church when the Holy Spirit is pulled out, understand this to say that the people who are left behind are the people who are not born again of the Spirit, who see Satan, the Antichrist, who see the Antichrist standing in the temple saying, "I am God." I don't expect to see that. If I do see it, I'll change my theology then. But up until this point, the people, God sends a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that, now here's an important thing, in order that, verse 12, all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Right? They saw the miracles of Peter and they turned to the Lord. They saw the miracles of Peter and many believed in the Lord. People who did not believe the truth but who had pleasure in unrighteousness are condemned. And God sends a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. Do you remember Pharaoh's heart was hardened? Not that Pharaoh's heart was tricked to be evil, but that in his evilness it was hardened. People who don't turn now, don't turn later. People who are not called to life, who respond to the gospel, do not get life. Critical teaching of Scripture. And then, you know, that's an admonition. That's heavy. But Paul lets you out of it in the rest. And I want to read the rest of this letter here. Look at verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved Through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, are you born again? You'll be saved. This heavy stuff is not for you. And we don't just say, oh, chuck the world. They're going to hell in a handbasket. We preach this gospel that saves. Get out. Come on. Be saved. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter, and you're reading the Bible, their letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, it's free, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word, just like Tabitha in all the good that she did. Establish faith in Jesus and in every good work that follows. And that includes the miracles.